Hi, everyone. This is JP, and you are listening to the Exploring EOS podcast. You can find all of our episodes over at exploringeos.com. You can find me on Twitter at exploringeos. And today we are talking with Chaney Moore. He is a multiple episode guest. I love having him come back on and talk about airdrops. But this week, he's got a pretty exciting new project that he's doing, and we'll talk about that in addition to several airdrops. So, Chaney, welcome to the Exploring EOS podcast.
Thanks for having me back on, JP.
Well, hey, it's great to have you. Let's just jump right in. You have a new project that you're working on that's really helping out some of the EOS community. Can you tell us about what that is?
Sure. It's CPU Emergency. We've tried to get the word out here lately, and hopefully most of your listeners will have know about it by now. But basically, the way it came about is we were experiencing a block Twitter spamming fest there, and I was in the EOS Telegram channel, and there were a lot of people really that were overclocked. They didn't have any CPU. Matter of fact, they were so far overdrawn that it could take a day or two for them to be able to perform a transaction again. So a lot of people were out there were just kind of really at the end of the day begging for somebody to delegate them a little CPU, not so they could necessarily transact, but so they could at least stake more of their own tokens to get the CPU to even perform another transaction. So they weren't asking for people to necessarily help them out in the long term. They just needed a few minutes of CPU time so they could use their own tokens. They were totally unable to perform a transaction.
Oh, wow. So the amount that they had already staked basically had been used up, and they didn't even have enough to stake more. So, I didn't even know it. Staking more required resources, but I guess that makes sense.
It does. It's a transaction. If you can't perform a transaction, you're stuck. And so basically what happens, JP, is you have a certain amount of the system resources based on the amount of EOS you have staked to CPU. And we have the ability, thanks to the way that the system is designed, to use in excess of that allotment. Let's say we have 1% of the system resources staked based on all the CPU staked. Well, we can, if no one else is using it, potentially use 5% of the system resources. Depends on how many people are using the system. But what happens is when you have a big user that has a lot of EOS staked, starts spinning up like Block Twitter, and they start using their allotment of CPU, and they start what they call surging ahead of the allowed system resources. Well, the system kind of averages it over time. I think it's a 3-day period. I forget exactly. So you end up going in the red, even though you may not have transacted in the last hour, because overall you've used or consumed more of your allotment of CPU previously. And it takes a while to cool off. And so during that time, while I call it overclocked, while you've surged past your allotment, you can't do anything. You're dead in the water. So we thought,
that's a problem. I mean,
that is a problem.
Did you notice people from, like, were there any particular apps that people were using that this was common with? Like, I think I saw some people posting on Twitter about this using like ESBets.
That's right.
Were there any others that were kind of like the main ones that
you see? EOS Bets. That's right. They use it a lot. And a lot of people were trying to, I don't know if you've played EOS Knights. It's a cool little, basic kind of little dungeon crawler, but it's a virtual, you don't really do a whole lot in it. It's an idle game. But it requires a lot of transactions, and people couldn't do that. But it was just across the board. You couldn't send tokens. People trying to airdrop couldn't airdrop tokens. It caused a lot of havoc. That may be resolved in some cases. I don't know if you've seen, but Block One has announced a fix or an upgrade here where people will start getting about twice the amount of CPU based on, I think it's a WASM. They're changing the interface there, which will allow everybody to have a little bit more. And so your transactions should go twice as far as they currently do. But I digress. What happened is we said, okay, how can we help the community? You know, people can't perform transactions, right? So they can't do anything. They can't go and request on blockchain for someone to delegate to them. So we created a website and staked the EOS to this website. Basically, it's an interface that people can go out there and enter their account name. And originally, they were going to get 1/4 of an EOS CPU just so they could do a few transactions. And we do have some metrics out there. If they're so far in the hole that that won't help them, we're not going to delegate that to them, and we'll tell them that they need more. You can go out there right now to CPU Emergency, and you can request that delegation, but you can also check your CPU usage there and see how much of that you have staked, you've used, how much is available, et cetera. And we saw a lot of people. We were helping out a lot of people that were coming out there and getting that quarter of an EOS of CPU. And that's only for 4 hours. You know, we're not trying to help them in the long term. We're not trying to help them use our CPU forever because you do have a 72-hour staking or undelegating that goes along with that. So every time that we give it to somebody else, we can't give it to another party that may need it.
Yeah.
So it's just 4 hours. And we realized that 0.25 wasn't very much, so we upped that to 0.5, and that's where we are today. Now, we've had some additional EOS into the account, so we're thinking about upping that to one EOS here in the near term. You'll probably have this podcast out by the time we do, or after we've done that. We'll probably do that in the next week or two. Mm-hmm. So by the time you get this one produced and out to the masses, we'll probably have one EOS free to anybody that needs it of CPU to be delegated.
Very
now
nice.
So we're trying to, you know, meet a need. There's no cost to that. If you know, people are very welcome to send a donation to the CPU Emergency account if they wish, but there's no strings attached to that. They can come out and get it for free. Now funny that you mentioned other dApps that are out there. We did see, and I'm a dicer. I have played some EOS bets. I have rolled the dice. I've got some bet tokens. And I was a member of their Telegram channel. And we did see, along the same time, since it's a transaction-intensive dApp, a lot of people begging for CPU so they could go out there and continue utilizing their account. And what was happening is... users were begging the admins, the EOS bets admins, please, admins, stake me some EOS so I can continue to use your DAP. And they were trying to manually track that. People were out there trying to help others, and it was just not a very clear process. So we put our service out there on the Telegram channel, and we included actually. Those users, if they agree to use just our referral link when they use EOS Dice, they can get up to 10 EOS of CPU delegated to them for 24 hours. And basically a referral link there, JP, just so your users know, basically any transaction that they perform on that dApp that costs EOS, we get a 0.5% of that, not from them, but back from EOS Bets. And okay. That's how we've been kind of funding our increase to the other users from that 0.25 up to the one EOS of CPU.
Very cool. So that doesn't increase the cost for somebody playing at all. It just takes the cut out of EOS Bets.
That's correct. It actually is twofold. It kind of increases the winning chances to the payout chances for the user as well. So it actually doesn't hurt anybody at the end of the day, except it's a service basically at free of charge to the user. It comes out of EOS Bet's pocket.
That's a pretty cool little synergy you've come up with here that helps everybody out, and you guys get to grow your EOS stockpile there.
Right. And the cool thing is actually the EOS Bets guys did see us out there in the Telegram, and they were trying to, so it's primarily an English Telegram, and they wanted to make it a little bit easier for all their users. And so now when a user runs out of CPU on their website, actually using their dApp, a pop-up window will come up and will link them back to an embedded website on their page, actually. And the users can utilize our service directly from the dApp. So we've actually integrated as a service provider to EOS Bets.
That's awesome. That's great. So, you know, we've been talking for a while, you know, a few months about EOS, you and I. And, you know, originally you just seemed to be kind of excited about airdrops and passive income from airdrops, and you know, you're still really into that sort of thing. But my question for you is, did you ever think you'd be doing something like this where you're providing a service like this?
Honestly, no. And it wasn't intended to be really a revenue generator at first. It was really meant to be really a service to the community. And it just popped up. I was joking with somebody the other day, you know, I'm a scout master too, with helping out with my son's troop. And one of their mottos is see a need, fill a need. And we just happened to see a need in the community and filled that need. And it's blossomed into something more than we originally expected. So now, you know, we are reaching out to other dApps, if any other dApp developers. So it's more than just a front end user interface, JP. We manage on the back end and work with the developer to figure out what metrics they want to provide CPU to their users. You know, if there's certain qualifications they want that user to have, if they're, you know, okay, they've used the dApp in the past, you know, few days, have they enough EOS to use our dApp, et cetera. And there's a bunch of metrics that we can use. And then we also, track it and provide them with updates on the number of users, delegations, undelegations, et cetera. So it's more than just a front end service. We've actually turned it into a full business in a relatively short amount of time. So it's really been fun, exciting. You're right. It's not something I ever expected to do when I invested in EOS, if you will. It's been almost more fun than I've had in a very long time working, if you will.
That's great. Well, thank you for doing that on behalf of the EOS community and everything. This is really cool. I haven't had the need for it yet, but I definitely know where to come now.
There you go.
If I need some extra CPU.
Hey, we'll give you the VIP treatment. We'll put you in the green list, JP. We'll get you whatever you need, man.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. That's cool. So are there any other things coming up for CPU Emergency that we should look out for? Any new things that you're going to be doing?
Well, one thing I'm glad you asked. One thing that we are doing in addition to providing or helping dApps provide CPU to their users is since Shintai isn't quite ready yet and the Rex isn't quite ready yet, we are renting or leasing chunks of EOS CPU wise to dApp developers if they need it to keep up and running. And you know, Shintai is supposed to be coming out soon, and I want to make it clear, this is we're not trying to compete with Shintai. We're not leasing, at least from the user perspective, the dApp user perspective and the One EOS, we're not getting paid from the end user. There, you know, it's not something where a user would rather go to Shintai and lease bandwidth. It's more of, we're doing this free to the user, so we're not competing with Shintai from that perspective. But until those dApps are available or those resources are available, we will provide or lease CPU to dApp developers.
Very cool.
So that's it. Nice. Really right now for CPU Emergency.
Great. Well, hey, if you're a token holder who needs a little more CPU, you get stuck, head over to cpuemergency.com. And if you're a dApp developer, check out where would somebody go if they are building a dApp, they're on the team for a dApp, and they're looking for something like this? Do they
reach out to
them on Twitter? Or?
They can reach out to me on Twitter, or they can actually, we have a Telegram group. They can search for CPU911. In Telegram, and they'll come to our Telegram group. And if I'm not available, one of the couple of the other admins should be able to help them out.
Yeah, and Cheney's name over there is River King Fisher. Mm-hmm. So be sure he's the one in there. There are a lot of fake things going around. I haven't seen you guys, but
no, I haven't. I haven't made it enough to in the world to warrant imitators just yet.
Yeah, that's when you know you've made it, is when you have the fake accounts made of you. I haven't gotten there yet either. So
yeah, one of these days we'll have Twitter spammers as well asking to send ETH to their accounts. So
yeah, awesome. Well, okay. Well, thanks again for doing that and for the update. Shall we move over to talk about some airdrops coming up?
Sure. Let's do that.
Sounds good. So a couple things. There are some. Sister chain. I don't know.
There you go.
Terminology is kind of up in the air. Is it sister chain?
I think sister chain is as good as any. It's not a side chain technically, because the side chain denotes this. It's primarily running the same governance of EOS, if you will, from my perspective. And a sister chain really is more of a fork, one that has different governance and different aspects to it. So you're right. We've got, I think you had someone on talking about Talos not too long ago. That is exciting to me. I know there's some people. I was listening to the the CipherGlass podcast not too long ago, the most recent one. He was talking about how their block producer will not be supporting any side chains for various reasons, and I personally welcome the side chains. There's no perfect governance, and until we have a chance to try multiple versions, we won't know which one's best, and we can learn from each other. So I'm excited about that. But right now, the next one that's really kind of cool is Warbly. And I think the snapshot was September 7th, but I remember seeing something out there about September 14th. So it was one of those two dates. Don't hold me to it. They're going to airdrop 40% of those tokens, 1 million out of 2.5 million. To token holders, and it's not really going to be quite what you've seen in the current airdrop, JP. It's going to be, I think, you're going to have an interface. I think maybe Scatter will, maybe Graymass will, but you'll kind of change, maybe toggle which chain you're on. So you won't have to enter your private keys again, I don't think. Your same Genesis account private keys will get you access to your Warbly tokens on the new chain. So just a fair warning for people out there that maybe are using certain tools to change their owner keys and active keys, and don't ever lose, destroy, get rid of, misplace your Genesis account original keys, because that may come in handy. Maybe come in handy years down the road. We don't know what'll happen. It probably, hopefully won't. Hopefully they'll be supporting new users, but keep those around, guys, even if you change your keys.
Yeah, that's great advice. And like you said, I think it's really cool that some of these sister chains, if they're going off of the Genesis block, you don't really need like a new Scatter account, right? You just toggle the, like you were saying, toggle the which chain you're operating on, and the keys remain the same. So that's great advice. And I think I just think it's kind of cool, because then it makes things easier.
I agree. And so Warbly is going to be a different beast. It's going to be a financial services KYC chain. It's going to be set up so that really for, like I said, financial service dApps to come in, dApps that require know your customer, require individuals to release their information, et cetera. So people may not like that. A lot of people don't like to release their information. They think crypto and blockchain should all be anonymous and behind the scenes and protected. This may be an intermediary between the real financial world today and what we see is blockchain. So it may provide a portal where those two worlds can interact together. We'll see how it goes. I'm excited. And hope that they do well.
Yeah, that is exciting, and it's. I think you're right. I think it is kind of a bridge from, you know, potentially. I mean, that's kind of what they're trying to do, right? Is bridge from the old world financial system to the new blockchain world. And I think, you know, as much as people don't like that, you know, having to kind of intermingle like the know your customer verification, identity verification, and things like that with the blockchain, I think there's some level of that that's just required, you know, if you're going to have real institutional investors and things like that come into blockchain. So hopefully Warbly is successful at bridging that gap, and down the road we will, you know, not necessarily need that, but maybe we will.
And if they do well, your wallet will do well. So, you know, you have a vested stake if you were a Genesis account owner, at least until you decide to monetize them and turn them back into EOS.
Yeah, that's right. So do you know if, like they say on here, that they have AML, KYC? So AML is anti-money laundering and KYC is know your customer. Account verification. Do you know if that is required to actually claim your tokens? Because you do have your private key.
I don't know if it's required to actually, honestly, to claim your tokens or if it's just to have a usable account. They may provide some ability to claim your tokens, but I have to think that it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a one account per person probably, and it may be a different voting structure, you know, one vote per person type of voting structure as well, since it's KYC. So I don't think JP can have six accounts out there in this system. I think it probably will be KYC.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just thinking from the perspective of, you know, maybe somebody doesn't want their identity of their Genesis address known.
Well, they may just have to give up their tokens in. I think this is mandated, but don't hold me to that, guys. I could be wrong there.
Yeah, it could be like you can get these Warbly tokens and sell them. Mm-hmm. WBI token is what it says it is. You know, and just not really use the blockchain itself. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see. I don't know the details on that either.
I've just updated my spreadsheet. WBI, got it in there now.
Nice. Okay.
A couple others. We got Tribe coming up, I think, on theirs.
I keep seeing Tribe articles from Tribe on Reddit. Mm-hmm.
So I've joined the bandwagon a little bit there too. I've poured a few of my articles over from Medium there just to test it out. It's essentially a version of Steam that's trying to go above and beyond, if you will, and have a YouTube integrated and a Steam integration where you can have articles and videos and things. Really a knowledge sharing network. It rewards you for voting for others and writing new content and sharing that content, et cetera. So part of the reason you see a lot of posts on Reddit is that you get a few Tribe tokens every time that you get a referral, if you will. You link to an article and you post it on Reddit and you get a few hits from that article and people read the article, then you get a few tokens dropped to your Tribe account. So you're right. We've seen a proliferation of Tribe articles that have popped up. Some of them the good content, some of them not so good content, but it's being used and shilled, if you will, a little bit more than previous mediums of sharing that information.
That makes a lot of sense that there's an incentive there. So with Tribe, you said you get some tokens if your content is spread around and everything. Is there also an airdrop of any kind?
I think so, and I haven't looked at them lately from an airdrop perspective. I think it's a very small airdrop, and what I have here in the spreadsheet is 1 for 20. So I don't know if that's correct anymore, because I know that they were providing certain information for users. And I don't remember if that airdrop supply was given in truly an airdrop form. I have no registration required, but you got certain airdrop, you got certain additional tokens if you sat logged in every day, if you clicked and supported somebody every day. I don't think that was included in the 50 million. So I think it's a 1 for 20 airdrop, but I have not verified that lately. See if that information is still up to date.
Okay.
So you won't get much, unfortunately, unless you go out there, John Paul, and then you write you post your podcast out there somehow. Maybe you get some more Tribe tokens.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. See what happens.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we got a couple more coming up here as far as snapshots go. Emanate. They are doing a very interesting airdrop. They are dropping between, and it's a flat airdrop kind of, it's between 200 and 500 tokens based on two factors. One, that you own more than 50 EOS at Genesis. And if so, and you have owned whatever that date is, you can get at least 200 Emanate tokens. But if you increased your EOS holdings between that date and September 19th, if you, let's say you had 51 and then now you have 53 on September 19th, then you can get 500 Emanate tokens, right? But let's nice. Say you had, 100,000 Emanate tokens at Genesis and now you have 99,000 Emanate tokens on September 19th.
You mean EOS tokens?
I'm sorry, EOS tokens. Okay, yes, you're correct. Now you're only going to get 200 Emanate tokens. Ooh. So if you were a supporter and you got more EOS in the months following Genesis snapshot in your main Genesis account, keep that in mind, then you'll get 300 more Emanate tokens. And they're dropping 4.1 million airdrop supply out to the various accounts. I don't know what the total supply is, though.
That's cool. And Emanate is some kind of audio music?
Yeah, it's a way for artists to exchange audio, basically some sort of music and or sounds. Or, I envision it kind of like, okay, I've created a bunch of different sounds that people can use in songs or people can use in movies or whatever. And I put that out there in a bundle and I'm going to be able to license that through Emanate. It may be a little bit different. It may be for artists as well. Maybe, put out there, put a little riff together, put a little 10-second riff and someone uses that in their song. I can get paid for people that want to buy that riff, if you will. I think I'm not an artist, so it's not one I've done a whole lot of digging into.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
And then we have BitJoy that's supposed to be coming up here with their snapshot on the 15th of September, and they have power tokens, and basically they are, doesn't require registration, but you can earn more if you interact. It's kind of like a game streaming. My mind's gone blank on the service that currently does that. But it's the interaction basically between gamers and streaming their playing and users that are watching them play. So that'll be pretty interesting to see if they can get enough support to go. And those are the September things that are happening. A couple other things that have happened recently that your users might be interested in if they should have received their airdrops. Karma and Horus have both started their token staking. And you'll have to go out to their relative websites and see the details there. I do know on Horus what it is because I wrote a Medium piece earlier in August about detailing using the airdrop assessment tool to detail Horus. So if you happen to be a Horus whale and have 1 million tokens, you can get 1% per month of eCash, and that's going to be a stable coin eventually that they're going to be able to use or that employers are going to be able to use to pay potentially their employees. And
that's the payroll system, right?
That's right. That's essentially a worldwide payroll system, service provider.
I noticed over in the, we can put a link in the show notes for this, but there's a, I guess it's kind of a wallet. It's called the EOS Toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
It's provided by Generios.
That's right.
Generios. And with that, I noticed that they allow you to stake your Horus.
That's absolutely right. And I recommend everybody go ahead and do it. There's no reason, unless you're planning to sell it anytime soon, there's no reason not to go ahead and stake it and start generating some e-cash.
Yeah, and that's it. I did it already. It's real easy to do. So
same here. And if you're not a whale, unfortunately, you only get 0.1% per month. Now, just so everybody knows, it's not that one-sided. The whales will stop generating that much after the beta is through, once the system is live. So that's only for a short period of time. So hopefully Horus does well. I like him. And you can see where I put him on the airdrop assessment tool out there.
Yeah,
and since we're talking different types of airdrops, here with Emanate, another one that I kind of struggled with, and we talked about it, but EOS Bets. They originally started out doing they call it an airdrop. I see it as a reward program, really, more so. But originally, for every one EOS bet, you got one BET token. And then as users really started coming on board, they reduced it to 5 and then 10. 20. I think today they've announced that they're going to go for every 30 EOS you bet, you get one BET token. And those, with their success, they've really obviously been driving the EOS system here lately. They've been the number one dApp. They've been bringing in hundreds of thousands of transactions and hundreds of thousands of EOS per week. And those BET tokens are interesting because you and I both like income and passive income. Mm-hmm. They will get 100% of the EOS bets income once they've distributed all the tokens. So the BET tokens are essentially a dividend token that gets you a portion of the dApp's revenue.
This is pretty cool. I had seen a lot of people using this. I'm not really into this kind of game, I guess. It's just not really my thing. Mm-hmm. And eventually I read some more and realized, oh, well, you can get these tokens and then share in the income. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, oh, well,
maybe I should go Daiso. Yeah,
right, exactly. So I was like, well, maybe I should like just see if I can buy some on one of these distributed exchanges. And I couldn't find them listed.
They,
on any of them.
They are frozen right now. Okay. So you can earn them and they will be dropped into your account. But once they are dropped into your account, they are not movable until they have all been dispersed.
Okay.
So they're frozen essentially until there's 88 million. So I guess if you had 88 tokens, you would get 1/1,000,000th of the entire revenue that the system generates, the dApp generates.
So here's what I actually did is I went into EOS Bets. I don't know if this is a great idea. I didn't do all the math or anything, but basically I put it on the highest probability of winning. Mm-hmm. You can adjust, you know,
spammed it
pretty much. I had never played this game before. It's a dice game. So for those who haven't either, you can adjust what number you're rolling. It's between 1 and 100. And if you roll below that, then you win. And if you roll above it, you lose. And so I just made it go as high as possible, which I think was like 94 or 95 or something like that. And so then I just kept rolling. And the reason I think that was a good way to get the bet tokens is that you get them based on the number of time, like the amount of EOS you bet, not how much you win. And so even, you know, if I did that 10 times at that time, it was one EOS.
Nice.
One for one. So I got 10 for each, if I did it 10 times in a row, no matter how much I won or lost.
You so, beat me. I didn't get in until the 1 for 10, I believe, is where I got in. So I had to work a lot harder for my BET tokens. So
did you do a similar scheme?
I did. I'm a little bit more of a degenerate than you, man. I actually did the same thing. I think I put it at 90, though. I like to gamble a little bit and played around with a tool called Mouse Recorder. And just put it on 500 clicks and walked away for the day. And so came back and I had lost like 6 EOS, but I had gotten like 100 BET tokens or something like that. I forget what it was. So it was a learning experience. It was kind of fun to do that and get some. So I'm invested in BET now.
Did you have the bet at 1 EOS?
I think I did.
Yeah,
I think I did. So well, it came out pretty close when I sat back and did some calculations. And I found out that I was pushing it too fast, that it didn't always generate in time. So I didn't quite get however many bets I thought I actually did. Mm-hmm. So I had to go back and thanks to EOS Authority, I could see how many bets that went through and figure out, you know, what percentage I won, what percentage I lost. And it seemed to be pretty fair. I think it was the house edge looked like it was expected to be.
Oh, that's fascinating. I didn't do it enough times. I think my EOS bets were more expensive than you. I lost more. I mean, it wasn't something I was unhappy with. I looked at it as like, this is the cost of buying EOS bets.
You've used the chain though. See, that's the first, that one in EOS Knights. Really, I played around with it too. I got in there at the beginning. I actually went through there and it was kind of fun at first and did the dungeon crawl and I didn't say dungeon crawl. I rebirthed my guys. You get these materials that are scarce and then you can go in the marketplace and people were looking for those to craft weapons and armor and accessories. And I made like 3 EOS the first 2 days of playing. I was like, wow, this is great, you know. Then a bunch of other people came in and those resources got a lot of scarce and I had other things to do in life. But I was using the chain, you know. This is the kind of thing we need. I played games. I gambled versus just using Ethereum to send tokens back and forth or Bitcoin as a store of value or whatever, if you will. You know, a month and a half, 2 months in to the chain being live, was actively using dApps. And I thought that was just the coolest thing ever. And there's a bunch of others that are coming out here that I'm excited about too. So it should be a pretty cool time here in the coming year. I'm excited. Speaking of things that are coming up, we've got here in a few weeks, we've got the London Hackathon.
Yeah.
A lot of speculation. So this is probably going to come out after the hackathon. What's the big announcement? What's it going to be? Put your money on it.
I don't know. I'm thinking it's probably the iPhone hardware wallet.
Yeah, I agree. Secure Enclave wallet. I agree totally.
Yeah. Can you explain that real quick? What that exactly means?
Basically, you know, the iPhone wallets have the ability to store certain information safely and utilize, you know, your thumbprint, or depending on iPhone, you have your face recognition to access that information. So basically, it turns your iPhone into a hardware wallet, a ledger or a treasure, if you will. And that will help a lot of mobile users, even though they're starting off on iPhone. I know a lot of people have Androids, so hopefully they'll move to Androids pretty soon as well. But basically, it's a mobile hardware wallet. I mean, that's pretty neat. I wouldn't necessarily put my entire stake of EOS in there, but certainly it would be handy to have some portion of it in there. And yeah. I think they're going to have announce a free account creation with KYC for anybody that wants to come through and create one free EOS account using that wallet, I think. And probably in my eyes, I think they'll probably have another VC partner that's announced out there, or maybe another VC partnership, VC funded project. But they still have $325 million of the $1 billion DAP fund that they haven't announced who's going to head that up. So perhaps they have somebody in mind.
Man, that's so much money. I mean, a lot of those VC funds that they have announced on, they've announced who's planning on investing the money, mm-hmm. you know, but they haven't announced really where the money's going, like what projects, right?
And I think that it takes time. You know, it takes time to vet projects. It takes time to make sure it's really value added for the ecosystem. So I'm fine with that. I think we've seen two so far. We've seen the IQ tokens of Rapidia. And then there's High Fidelity that's been announced, but I don't know how we're not the sole funder. That was Galaxy Digital that put in, I think, 20 or 30 million or 15. I forget the total number, but High Fidelity raised a lot more money than that. So it'll be interesting to see what that gets the EOS ecosystem with that investment.
Yeah. I mean, I expect at some point to just kind of see an explosion of these of announcements about what they're actually funding, because it does take time to vet people, and you know, you don't want to just pour money into everything. I mean, a lot of these VC funds are probably a lot more disciplined than, you know, your average ICO investor who is just like, oh, that looks neat, you know, that looks interesting. They're going to really vet out the project and who the engineers are that are working on it, who the CEO is going to be and everything.
And they're looking at different levels. Like you've got Galaxy Digital that had almost a third of $1 billion, but then you've got like SVK Crypto, and they're kind of a smaller VC fund and really primarily EOS focused now. They're looking for the smaller projects. They only got 50 million. So they're looking for projects that, you know, 100,000 to $1 million can get off the ground. So we're talking about a wide range and of projects, and you can't just take $1 billion and throw it out in the marketplace and get your return. We're probably going to be seeing this money invested in the marketplace at least 4 or 5 years down. You know, it's going to take at least 4 or 5 years to take that $1 billion and find quality projects that need the funding. Mm-hmm. So don't expect 10 projects to be announced at the hackathon, if any, but we'll see it slowly trickle out over time. Hopefully it'll gain some steam as more projects keep getting ready and are ready for announcement.
Yeah, definitely. One other token, I think we skipped this, is the crypto peso.
Yeah, you can probably, why don't you tell me about the crypto peso, JP, because I know that this sounds awfully similar to a project that you and I talked about previously.
Yeah. Well, so I did have the founder on the podcast. It'll be out by the time people hear this. So definitely go back and listen to that episode. So Crypto Peso is basically put together by EOS Venezuela, which is a block producer candidate. And they are kind of expanding beyond just being a block producer and to providing this token, which is meant to really be a solution to the corruption of the Venezuelan government. You know, we've all heard in the news about how bad things are getting down there. And one of the big things that's happening is hyperinflation. And so they are making a point that there's zero inflation on this token.
Ah.
They're actually distributing it kind of preferentially to Venezuelan citizens. And so if you are somebody from Venezuela, even if you don't live there right now, I know a lot of people have fled the country. If you've left recently, you can go to their website, eosvenezuela.io, and register before the end of September. And you don't have to be a Venezuelan citizen, but so there, step back for a second. There are kind of two sides to the airdrop. If you're a Venezuelan citizen, you fill out their registration on their website and you will get, I think it's 10 crypto pesos, something like that, okay, just for signing up. You don't have to have any EOS tokens or anything. And then if you are a token holder, you can go sign up and then you get it airdrop. And they, I forget all the details on the exact airdrop, but it's kind of like a, one of those airdrops where, you know, if you have millions and millions of tokens, they cap it at a certain amount.
Yeah, I see that. It's a max of 1 million tokens. No matter, it's 1 for 10 up to a max of 1 million.
Okay, yeah. So, and then they also have some interesting things where they're trying to incentivize businesses to use the crypto peso. I think they call it the crypto peso club, where if a business signs up with them, you know, agreeing to accept the crypto peso, that they will get some free tokens as well.
And, you know, I hadn't thought about this, but while you're talking about it, giving the Venezuelan citizens tokens for free, I didn't think that might actually drive account creation and generate more users of EOS.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, and maybe we should create a currency for every single government country out there, country out there, but it'd be kind of defeat the purpose, but still.
Yeah, definitely. Well, they are working actually with EOS Meso, which is in Guatemala. So this does go a little bit beyond Venezuela. They want it to be more of a Latin American solution, but they're starting with Venezuela, which is having the hardest time, being hit the hardest with bad currency. I'm excited about it. I don't know, you know, if they're the right people to execute and everything and really get it done. But it was a great interview, and I'd love to see something like this, you know, to help the people who are really suffering there and have honest money that's not controlled by a extremely corrupt government. So I registered, and if I
did it as well.
Oh, nice. If you're not in Venezuela, or if you're not a Venezuelan citizen, they don't really require much info. It's just like a name, email address, and your public EOS address. So you register, but it's not like a full KYC. So,
hey man, see, you're taking my job away from me here. Great job explaining that. I like it. Yeah. Instead of airdrop Cheney, we'll have airdrop John Paul.
Yeah. Well, that's just because I interviewed him recently.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah. So that's September. A lot of fun stuff coming up. And then we also mentioned the distributed exchanges.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you talk about those a little bit?
Sure. Well, the last time we were on, we talked about, you know, using the airdrop assessment tool to kind of figure out how many of the tokens you want to hold, how many tokens you want to sell. And at the time, the only place we could really do any of that was on chains, required KYC, et cetera. And, unfortunately, they seem to have kind of hit a roadblock here. They have the same set of tokens that they had the last time we essentially talked. They haven't really expanded their market. You know, CET, IQ, Meet One, Horus, and Karma. And that's really all they're trading. So luckily, we've had some new DEXs come up. Well, new DEX. We have Dexios, a few others that have come up as well. I'm going out right now to DAF Radar, and it looks like Dexios has about 185 unique users, and they're generating about 7,000 EOS worth of traffic per day. So,
not bad.
144,000 over the last week. So it's kind of low today compared to the weekly average. So it's a decentralized exchange. It's real easy to use, and it's quick, man. I mean, I don't know if you ever used Fork Delta or Ether Delta or any of those exchanges in the past.
No.
Oh my goodness, they were so frustrating. You would go in there and you would try to buy or sell a token, and you would have to spend ETH to go out there and process your transaction. And then by the time it processed and you didn't put enough gas in there to get there, it would have been bought up by somebody else that got there before you, and your gas was just wasted, burned up for no good reason. And it took minutes or longer, depending on how congested the system was.
Man.
So these are awesome. I mean, I've bought and sold a few. Honestly, I bought some more Horse. I like the Horse project, and it was out there, and I picked it up. And it was so fast.
So how does this work? Is it like there's a trading pair between all the tokens?
Yeah, it's basically really not that much different than any other exchange. You really can't tell the difference in a centralized exchange. That's what makes it pretty so good. You go out there, you can see the information. People are buying, people are selling, people, you know, have buy orders and sell orders out there. You log in with Scatter. I'm doing it right now while we're talking. I'm just going to go check out. I'm going to enter my password in Scatter and log in. And I can now go in there. It shows me how much I have available in EOS and airdrops. And now if I go to that trading pair, let's say I go to black to EOS right now. The last trade is at 0.005 EOS per black. And so I can go in there and I can buy 2,200 at that price right now. And I just click on that and I enter the amount I want to buy, and boom, it's in my account. And I get confirmation in less than 5 seconds. So nice. Fast. It's really nice. Cool.
That's great. So on the trading pair thing,
yeah,
is it like you're always trading with EOS, or can you do like black to IQ or something?
No, primarily you have to go through EOS and all of them. So hopefully that'll drive EOS adoption just like it helped drive ETH adoption and Bitcoin adoption, right? I mean, hopefully we'll see that people are holding on to EOS so they can do some trading here along the way as well.
Yeah, I don't have the technical understanding of this, but do you know if they'd be able to eventually make it so you can also, I mean, this is all in the EOS ecosystem, right? This is all on the EOS chain, but it'd be also great to be able to transact with, you know, other blockchains like Ethereum or Bitcoin.
I saw somebody here recently talking about doing some atomic swaps on Reddit. And that someone had done some swaps. I really didn't pay much attention to it because, honestly, I can't tell you the last time I interacted on with Bitcoin. Even though I've got some Bitcoin, a little Litecoin, and some Ethereum. Well, I don't have any Ethereum, but I got some ERC-20 tokens. And they've just been gathering dust. I haven't done anything with them probably in the last, well, really much after Mainnet launched. I haven't been buying, selling, trading, doing anything with them. So I think it's available, John Paul, but I haven't researched it.
Okay, cool. I just hope in the future that would be the case, because like having that interface where you're going from these slower other blockchains to something really fast, like having it right there, I think would hit people pretty hard. Like, oh, wow, this is fast.
I'm looking out here right now, and it's just crazy the number that are trading. We got Black, IQ, Dios, EOS, DAC, Horus, CET, Edna, OCT, Boyd, Challenge, Meet One, Atidium, EOS Sports Bets, EPRA. I'm not even sure what EPRA is. ADD, Luck, Karma, Wiz, Tribe, EOX, DAB, EVR, POR, Wizbox, IPOS, EOS, NTS, and CAN. I don't even know what some of these are anymore, JP, but we have 36 that are currently trading out there. So that's pretty neat. Go check it out.
That's Use exciting.
It. Need some help? Let me know.
Cool. Well, hey, Cheney, anything else that we missed?
Yeah, one more thing before I'll let you go back and continue with your day. If people haven't checked out the airdrop tracker in a while, I've done some updates. In the bottom now, I have an update log. You can see what I've changed and when I last changed it. I haven't done much here recently, but I do have 3 tabs now. So you got the airdrops that are pending. You can kind of see what's going on, what's upcoming, what you need to be prepared for. If there's a registration, usually I put it in red so you can kind of see that. It pops out to you and you can do what you need to do to take care of that. Then on the second tab, I've got completed or closed registration airdrops and airdrops where the project may be dead or not doing much these days, or it's just up in the air. So you can go to that tab and see those projects, see what you should have if you're a Genesis holder, and maybe what is no longer coming down the pike. And then finally, I created a new tab I thought was worth tracking. And anybody, please, you know, tell me if I'm missing some here. But, you know, we had a proliferation in a very short period of time of a bunch of projects that were moving over from ETH to EOS and an Icon. Sentinel protocol is coming to EOS from Icon. And I thought it'd be good to have a just a little list there of the projects, their websites, what platform they were going to build on, and then the announcement that shows, talks about why they moved from the previous platform over to the EOS network. So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. But that I think cool. That wraps it up.
Nice. I appreciate the extra tabs there, because I always like to see if somebody's coming over from Ethereum, that's like a vote of confidence, you know? And that's a community that's going to start using EOS now, right? So it's just building up the EOS ecosystem. So appreciate you doing that.
Sure thing.
Very cool. Well, Chaney, thank you for joining me in exploring EOS today. And that's it for today's episode. Be sure that you check out cpuemergency.com. And River Kingfisher is Chaney's handle. Is there anywhere else people can go to keep up with what you're working on?
Sure. You know, now I'm kind of spreading out. I'm becoming decentralized. So I'm still on Reddit. I'm a moderator on Reddit. You can find me there anytime, River Kingfisher. And you can find me on Medium or Tribe and, of course, Twitter. So feel free to reach out to me there. Join our Telegram group, CPU911. And I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for having me on, John Paul.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. And for everybody else, please take a moment to leave us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice. And head over to exploringeos.com. Leave a comment and let me know what kind of guests you'd like to hear from in the future. And, you know, if you have any airdrops you want to hear about, leave us a comment and I'll bring Chaney back on to fill us in. Anyway, it really helps us out. And thank you all for joining us in Exploring EOS. The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.